Getting to Dave Sandberg because I need some visuals to help us through this. And this is the second talk on baptism. Dave Hawes did our first talk on baptism, which looked at the sort of theology behind it. I'm going to try and look at some of the things that happen. Feel free to kick it again.
Okay.
That stop us from actually thinking about getting baptized, or some of the things that we can actually call hindrances. Okay, so here we come. Da, 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 da. We're going to start off by looking at a story from the Bible. It's in video clip form, and I've worked very hard at putting Dutch subtitles for any Dutch speakers here this morning so that you won't feel ostracized. Can we go to third slide, please, now? Okay, one of the most familiar stories about baptism in the Bible, Philip and the eunuch. And he obviously is portrayed as a person with a great sense of humour. And when they got to the little oasis, his comment to Philip was, "Well, here is water. What hinders me from being baptised?" And I think it's quite important to, if we'd gone on to show you the rest of that film, you'd have seen him go down into the water. And you'd have seen Philip lift up a little cup and pour water over the top of his head. Is very different to what you saw in the first picture of the baptisms going on at a church called The Journey in New York, where on that particular occasion they baptized 51 people. Now, I don't think water, the amount of water necessarily, is the issue. I watched my dad once upon a time have a situation where the water got turned off because there was a water leak in Tobago and he couldn't get the water into the baptistry. And he literally got about 6 inches of water into the bottom, and he had a very well-endowed West Indian mama to baptize. And so what he had to do was to get her to kneel, and then when he baptized her, moved her forward so her head went down underneath and came back up. You saw in the first script that Dave showed a couple of weeks ago, the video clips of us baptizing people at Sheldon School in a swimming pool, a little blow-up paddling pool type thing. And on the 16th, we're going to be using a swimming pool. People overseas, where it's very dry, sometimes just stand in a bath and someone pours water over the top of them. So I don't think the issue is the water. So what we're going to do to begin with this morning is just think a little bit about a question. And that question is, what hinders me, what prevents me from being baptized? Next slide, please. Next slide. Right. I went onto the internet the other day and I was having a look, and it was a person from the Journey Church. And this was what she wrote, which I thought was quite interesting. She says, "I was supposed to get baptized like decades ago. I became a Christian when I was fairly young, but old enough to make the decision. For reasons that children and teenagers feel insecure about, I never chose to get baptized. I don't know, the thought of being dripping wet in front of everybody in church didn't really sound very exciting. As I grew older, I conveniently forgot about getting baptized. My reasons for not getting baptized? Laziness, shyness, fear, excuses, flat-out disobedience. Recently, I decided I was really going to change the way I live my life in terms of my faith. No more just going to church on Sundays and forgetting about God for the rest of the week. Unless a crisis arose, of course. I have many needs, dreams and expectations and crises in my life at that hour that Sunday simply couldn't handle. My needs demanded more consistency than that, so I decided to join a church group. I attended consistently. I joined in their weekly small Bible study sessions. I met people. I volunteered at church and made more of a daily walk and commitment. Consistency is what I needed. I knew I had to do this, because I was quite significantly weak in my area of faith. I wanted to change my life, but I knew I had to change in order to get to the next level. So there I was. It was adult water baptism staring me in the face again. And I knew I needed to get this out of the way as an act of obedience. Truthfully, I signed up for a baptism earlier this year, but I flaked out. Some concerns, fears, issues arose. Then I thought, I'm too old for this. Then I heard my church would be baptizing people on the beach. And I realized that this was my chance to do it with a bit of flair. I mean, how many people do you know who got baptized in the ocean? I knew the big date in advance for the day, but I was going to give myself a backdoor escape, so I didn't tell anybody but the pastor. So my plan was a secret between him and me, and he kept emailing me about all the details. But I hiked out to Jones's Beach on Saturday, where my new church held their annual beach baptism gathering. We got baptized, and it was awesome. So there was somebody who had put off the idea of getting baptized for quite a while, for a whole ramet of reasons, really. Forgetfulness, busy life, laziness, and really not facing up to. And it was interesting that she talked about this whole thing of having a committed walk to following Jesus. She began to walk in a way that was more solid in the way in which she was actually trusting in God and moving on with God. And so those were some of her reasons for not getting baptized. When I was working with Scripture Union quite a few years ago, we had a young girl on one of our holidays, and she came up to us and said she would like to be baptized. So we said, oh, okay, but we won't baptize you unless you have the permission of your church minister and your parents. And so she rang the church minister, and he was happy about that. She rang her parents, and they were happy about that. And so we were doing a barge holiday, and I can't remember where we stopped, but we booked their swimming pool, and we baptized Amanda. And that was great. She's a lovely girl. And I hope she's still going on with God from that point. But there you see, she had to, as an 18-year-old, talk to her parents about it. And if her parents had said no, we wouldn't have been able to baptize her, because we do believe that it's really important to honor your parents and to trust God in that sort of situation. I have a very good friend called Jill. In fact, I saw her during the summer holidays, and was involved in her becoming a Christian. And it got to the time of thinking about getting baptized. And I said to her, Jill, are you going to get baptized? And she went, yeah, that's the next step. I really need to do that. On the Sunday when we were doing the baptism, you would not believe how many times we drove round the building because she was freaking out. She said, I can't do this. I can't. I'm just so scared. I can't do it. And I'm going, come on, Jill, we've talked about this for ages. You know, you love Jesus. You want to follow him. You want to obey him. This is the next step. So she said, okay, just get me in there and do it quickly. And we got her in, and she was baptized. And today she's part of the leadership team in a church in Exeter, and is going great guns, still full of enthusiasm. But for her, it was a whole fear thing of what was going to happen. In our time in Exeter, there was a time when we did quite a lot of street work. And we had a young couple become Christians on the street. He had been a Vidal Sassoon-trained hairdresser and had gone on from that to lead as lead editor in one of the big magazines on hair and hairstyles and all that sort of stuff. And he'd given it all up because he wanted to discover what life was all about and gain more in terms of spirituality. And so he had met this young girl who was American, and they went off and they toured around the world, and he dabbled in everything going. And he was in a situation where, when it came to being baptized, he wrote on paper, I want to be baptized, and no matter what happens, get me into that pool and dunk me. Because I know what I want to do now as I'm writing this clearly. And they were right. Four or five men had to manhandle him, get him into the pool. No kidding. and baptized him. And there was quite a bit of prayer ministry around that time for him. But he came through. Brilliant. I mean, when he first arrived, he had his hair all plaited and earrings all over the place. To say he then became very conventional and walked around in trousers and a top. He got married to the young girl that he was sort of living with at the time. And they, when I last heard, they were part of a Vineyard church over on the west coast of America. So for him, there was a real battle because of all the stuff that he had got himself involved with in his search for spirituality. So those are just some ideas of the sorts of things that can actually prevent us from considering baptism. So what is it? What is so special about it? When I got married to Peter, I committed myself to him. And he gave me an engagement ring, first of all, to show that we were engaged. And then a wedding band to show that commitment. When we get baptized, it's a very public statement of something that has gone on privately in our hearts. Sometimes people become Christians or they move on in their journey and really get to know Christ. And it's something that's happened between them and him. Baptism is where you come out into the light. We've been talking about light this morning. And this whole thing about darkness not being able to put out light. And when we get baptized, it's almost like coming out into the light and saying, I'm standing before you all here today. I would like to get baptized because I've got to know Jesus, I love him, and I want to follow him, and I need your support to help me as I do that. And it's a time at which you stand in front of people, and you go into water, as we saw at the beginning. It's quite a symbolic thing as well, because going into the water signifies a sense of humility in laying down your life. Going under the water has to do with dying. Coming up out of the water, in that sense, has to do with new life in Christ. And some people actually believe that it's possible to leave all your gunk down under there somewhere and come up. And that's why sometimes when you're being baptized, people say to you, is there anything that really bothers you at the moment that you'd really like God to fix while you're being baptized? And if you ask for something, then it's prayed about and it's dealt with. And I've never seen anybody come up out of a baptismal event with a really severe looking face. Like, well, don't know what that was about, really. You know? Usually they come bouncing out right under the water going, where, hey, you know, something, you know, I don't know because I can't see into the spiritual realm, but there's something that happens when you get baptized. Because you're not only declaring to family and friends, but you're declaring something to the unseen forces, the angels, the demons, whatever people call them, that you have decided to follow Jesus. I remember reading some time ago of a guy who went to, He was checking out this fortune-telling stuff, you know, and clairvoyancy and all that sort of stuff. So he went and he sat down in front of this woman. He was a Christian. He sat down and he said, I'd like you to tell my fortune, please. So she looked at him and she said, okay, so you got either a ball or whatever it was she looked at. And then she said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you your future. You're dead. He said, pardon? So he said, well, when did I die? So she gave him a date. And the date was the exact date on which he had got baptized. Now, I can't explain these things, but I do know that it appears that baptism is a very significant step in our journey in following Jesus. And it's something that we don't do lightly. We don't do it because all our friends are doing it. Or we don't not do it because our friends say, oh, we can't possibly do that. But we hear what God is saying to us as individuals. And we try to follow him in that. It is well known, I think, I'm right in saying, that in countries where other religions are strong, And you can go on the web and do a search. I did a search earlier, and I'm not going to read you some of the stuff I found. But when you become a Christian, that's one thing. Your life is under threat. You get baptized, and you're definitely up for it. And numbers of young people have been killed across the world because they have taken a stand for Jesus and have got baptized and have said, I am no longer playing for Chelsea, but I am now wearing the colours and playing for Arsenal. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm no longer wearing the colours of the kingdom of darkness, but I have chosen the kingdom of light, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And there's that song we sing, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And that that verse that Dave had on the podium this morning about darkness not being able to put out light. Once you've been lit and you choose to follow Jesus, there is nothing that can put the darkness out. So, I hope that helps you understand a little bit about why we get baptized. If you could just flash to the next, go past that one onto the next one. I'm not used to giving talks on Sunday. I know it sounds terrible, and I'm getting used to this whole thing of communicating without teacher notes, but here are a few. Okay, so why do we get baptized? This is a summary. It's about an example. Jesus got baptized. He went to John, and he asked him to baptize him because at that time John was baptizing Israelites who wanted to repent. And it's about obedience. Matthew 28:18-20 says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in or into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you. Teaching them to observe other things as well. Okay, so Jesus asks us to do that when people become followers of him. Philip baptized the Ethiopian, you've seen that, and Paul baptized people in Corinth. If you go to Acts 19:5, you see Paul baptizing people there who had gone through the baptism of John, but were being baptized again into Jesus. As I said just now, it's about a public statement of a personal decision. It's a choice you make. Nobody's going to force you to do it, but it's something that you make, and it's to your friends and family, church friends and church family as well, and to spiritual powers. It's about identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, because when Christ died for us, he took all our sins upon him. He took responsibility for everything we have ever done wrong, will ever do wrong. And he paid the price for that, which is what we've just been celebrating with communion. And so in a sense, the baptism is like a symbolic identification with what he did for us. And it's about humility. Because in a way, it is not an easy thing to walk into water. Like, you know, the girl was talking about her fears. It's not an easy thing to walk into water and have a couple of people baptize you. And you do come out all dripping wet, but generally, you know, you're dressed in such a way that it doesn't really matter about being wet. And you get to swim first, as it were, because you're already in. And it's about commitment. It's about clothing ourselves with Christ so that we sort of moved on. It's a maturity. We've moved on. Christ is in us and Christ is around us. And the light shines more brightly. In that sense, and there is that sense in which his power is at work in us. I'm not saying that it's not before we get baptized, but to coin a phrase that was used recently, it's about coming into a position where you're seen as opposed to unseen in terms of spiritual life. Because we know that is, in a sense, more important, more significant in a way than our physical being. We are spiritual beings, and there is a spiritual significance. We're coming out, we're saying, hey, guys, I'm a follower of Jesus. And it's great. It's great to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean it gets easier, but it does mean that you are clothed with Christ. You're in Christ. He's around you. I often see it like being in a balloon. You know those huge balloons? when we were visiting Anna and Simon recently, there's some guys have got these really, really amazing thick balloons, clear, that you can get into, and they zip them up, they fill them with air, and you just roll around on water. So nothing can get at you, you know, not even another person, because there's this sense of being surrounded by this thing, and we are in Christ, surrounded by Him and protected by Him. So as Ben said this morning, if you would like to get baptized, some of you have given me your names already, if you let me know, and then either Carol and Rosie or myself will be getting in touch with you and chatting with you and answering any questions that you might have about it. But it's a good thing to do, so my final comment, go for it. Okay, thank you.